This is Degaris Masculist MGTOW Flyers. That is two 3-page essays on the themes of masculism and MGTOW, written by and read aloud by Prof. Dr. Hugo Degaris. This is part two of the flyer number 673, entitled How Politicians Can Solve the Birth Rate Crash. Carrying straight on. Intelligent masculists see this quandary, so they compromise via their MCT suggestion for women. MCT equals Mother Career Timeline, which for an upper middle class woman goes as follows. She gets her master's degree at 23. For the next 5 years, she marries and works in her career competent profession, earning good money because she is a FIP. She has her first kid at 29 and her second at 31, thus fulfilling her civic duty, as mentioned above. She then stays at home full-time, raising her two kids for 6 years until the second kid is off to kindergarten at 4 years old. She then returns to her career full-time so as not to be a fluffy parasite on her man, which will only make her hated by men, masculisted men, as most men become infected by the masculist virus, placing enormous moral pressure on women to fip up or effectively be exterminated. Thus, politicians need to become a lot better informed about masculism so that they understand why such a high proportion of young men in Western countries simply refuse to marry and be fathers due to the toxicity of divorce caused by the fluffy feminist divorce court lawyers and judges who see men as cash machines. In quotes,
put on this earth to pay for women to have babies.
End quote. These politicians need to learn that the core idea of masculism is that it is a rebellion by men against working for women for decades of their lives, thus manslaving them for decades. Maskers argue that women now have a life expectancy of 85 years, thanks to men's invention of science-based medicine, the pill, household gadgets, higher education, etc. So women now have a career window of half a century, even those women who use the MCT mentioned above. So masculists are now standing up, pointing the finger at women, telling them, quote, now that you women can work, you must work. Anything else is man's slavery, and man's slavery will get you killed, slowly, by being forced to rot on the shelf, by men totally ignoring you, not even pumping and dumping you. So until the politicians menfare the gender laws, for example, by creating GECs, G-E-C's, that's gender equality committees, in the parliaments, that consists half of female feminists and half of male masculists, so that the gender issues of both sexes are dealt with equally, which is far from being the case today after 6 decades of feminist monopoly of gender politics, close brackets. Men will continue to boycott marriage and paternity, since they will continue to refuse to take a one chance in four of being butchered in a hated, fluffy feminist-controlled divorce court system. So the gender laws must be men-fared. The task of the masculist half of these GEC politicians will be to make fatherhood safe again for men, so that millions of men, young men, are willing to be fathers again. The men-faring of the gender laws will involve many things. The male half of the GECs will push for the fipping of women, for the creation of a FIP society, so that women no longer parasite off the labour and money of a man. The GECs will legislate the para, that's paternity rejection right, so that men have the same legislated right to reject an unwanted pregnancy as women have with their mara, maternity rejection right, aka abortion right. If the man rejects paternity and the woman wants to continue the pregnancy to term, then he fills in a para form, legally rejecting paternity. So that if she does not abort, then she is legally obliged to pay the full costs of the kid. The para may seem contradictory to the aim of increasing the birth rate, But a male population informed of masculine ideas will not tolerate not having the para when women have the mara, which is the most blatant sexual discrimination that exists, that makes masculine scream at its blatant gender injustice towards men. The GEX will need to legislate the OPTAB, O-P-T-A-B, obligatory paternity testing at birth, for all births, to block women's horrible paternity fraud, in brackets, that is, where the mother lies to her man that the kid growing in her, is his, when she knows it's not, and then forcing the man to pay for the kid who is not even his, thus manslaving him for 2 decades. It's due to these kinds of horrible gender crimes against men that masculines have such a hatred for gender criminal women and want them prosecuted and put in jail. For paternity fraud, that would be for 15 years. The criminal mother would be forced to work in jail to pay for the cost of her incarceration and for the cost of the kid who goes with her because it is not his. The male half of the GEX will also reform the divorce courts by basing them on the principle of financial independence of both divorcing parties, that is, both the mother and the father. Alimony will be thrown out, since the divorcing mother is assumed to be a FIP in a FIP society. Custody of kids will be given jointly to both parents by default. The halving of wealth and stuff will be thrown out. When young men become convinced that the divorce courts are now fair to men, they will be a lot more willing to become fathers again. The bottom line in this flyer is that for the politicians to do an effective job in raising the birth rate, they need necessarily and importantly to have a much better knowledge of masculine ideas so that they understand why so many millions of young men reject marriage and paternity. In the US today, a reputable polling company, in brackets, Pew, P-E-W, Research Center, close brackets, found that over 60% of young men between 18 and 30 refuse to even date women, let alone refusing to marry them and give them their sperm. The major reason, given why these young men refuse to date women, is that young women seem to them to be too, quote, feminazi bitchy, too misandrous, male-dumping, feminazi cunts, end quote, and wipe them out of their lives. Over 60%, 3 exclamation marks. Consider the consequences on the birth rate of that horrifying statistic. So masculists propose that everyone becomes bi-conscious, that is, aware of both feminist and masculist ideas, so that millions of monoconscious feminists become bi-conscious and realise that gender oppression is very much a two-way street and that women oppress men worse, far worse. For example, the big three. That is, the worst 3 ways that women oppress men, namely women's manslavery, in brackets, that masculists, as abolitionists, are murderously opposed to, close brackets, women's divorce rape and women's forced fathering. Bi-conscious feminists are a lot nicer for men to be with, since these women have had their feminist anger at men, in brackets, for the ways that men oppress women, for example, rape, domestic violence, sexual harassment, patriarchy, etc., cancelled by their female masculine anger at women for the ways that women oppress men, for example, the big three mentioned above. Bi-conscious masculines tend to dump feminists who remain monoconscious and pair off again with bi-conscious feminists. This dumping of millions of monoconscious feminists will cause them to become bi-conscious, or they will rot on the shelf till they die. So assume now that the gender laws have been men-fared, but people of both sexes still refuse to have kids, so that populations keep crashing, thus wiping them out. So what can be done then? I propose that the politicians use a combined carrot and stick approach in persuading childless individuals to have more kids. Carrot-type measures have been mentioned above, for example, hefty maternity wages while the mother is at home, raising very small children, the men-faring of the gender laws, the reform of the divorce courts, etc. Politicians in those countries with very low birth rates, for example, South Korea, Spain, Italy, Canada, Japan, etc., are giving women financial incentives to have more kids. In brackets, for example, Hungary is even spending 5% of its gross national product, GNP, on maternity grants. But they are not having much effect because the birth rate remains well below replacement rate, thus making population extinction inevitable if the replacement rate is not achieved. Probably, as populations really start shrinking, politicians will start taking more draconian measures, for example, by taxing childless adults more heavily, labelling them pejoratively, e.g., life leechers, who leech off the sacrifices made by their parents in raising them, but who do not return the favour to the next generation. Governments can really push their propaganda on this point, persuading their citizens that to be childless is to be an extinctionist, that is, someone to be hated, to be excluded, to be treated as a pariah. When populations become really small, governments could even resort to the creation of baby farms, in which women are paid by the government to have and raise many kids, making it a full-time job and well paid, so that many women choose it as a profession. These baby farms could be stationary communities, communes, so that children grow up with carers who do not disappear on them. Male foster fathers could also be paid by governments to provide children on these baby farms with paternal influence, especially for young boys, so that these boys do not feel gender alienated in a totally female environment, a situation in which too many boys in our gender political era are afflicted with. If governmental pro-parental measures need to become draconian, childless citizens can be penalised by disallowing them to travel, by excluding them from higher education, etc. Many such measures come to mind. Once life leeches are universally despised, thanks to worldwide governmental propaganda, then the implementation of such draconian measures will become socially acceptable, even in democracies, where governments cannot afford to be too ahead of the opinions of their voters, or they will be voted out of power. But with a powerful pro-parental zeitgeist, such measures will become the norm as population sizes really start getting close to zero, that is, to extinction. Cheers. Prof. Dr. Hugo de Garis. Email profhugodegaris@yahoo.com. Website profhugodegaris.wordpress.com. Brackets. Click on the Maskless tab for 670 plus Maskless essays and their videos. See also a London Real interview on masculism at AI will kill 1 billion people - do we create our exterminators? ? Professor Hugo de Garis - London Real. Brackets. See the last half hour of this two-hour interview for the Maskless segment. These files are available in text and video formats on Minds, BitChute, Odyssey, MGTOW.tv, and X. Ciao.